You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, good evening, everybody. We've got a bit of Diddy news, a bit of Jay-Z news. We've got some Ashton Kutcher. And the main story, though, is Beyonce safeguarding Blue Ivy's brand. Like we said in the very beginning, it's all about the value of the brands to these people. When they get hit with heinous allegations, the value of the brands drops off a cliff. A slippery slope. They can try to slow down, but are very rarely successful enough to do so, as we've seen with Diddy. Diddy's gone, woo! Jay-Z is just over the cliff right now and trying to climb back up and get back to the top. He's not started his big fall yet. All right. But they are looking out for the value of the brands. And a story that's come out today in the Blast. Beyonce is keen on shielding Blue Ivy's brand after the R Word scandal. She recently received the green light to trademark her 12-year-old daughter's name, Blue Ivy, which sources believe will allow the soon-to-be teen to have a career that is robust, yet adaptable to future aspirations. How would you say, parlaying your fame? Generational nepotism. Before this recent approval, Beyonce had made two attempts to secure the trademark, but faced various complications. Now, you may be wondering, folks, why Beyonce is so desperate to safeguard Blue Ivy's brand. After receiving this approval to trademark the name, according to The Sun, the previous attempts had faced obstacles, and those obstacles had to be resolved to get this thing approved, the trademarking. And now she's moving forward with the process in the wake of Jay-Z getting embroiled in the R-word allegations. So PR expert Grace McCormick, founder of Lightfinder PR, said that Beyonce's decision to move ahead with Blue Ivy's trademark, quote, reflects her keen awareness of personal branding and legacy building. This PR woman hinted that Beyoncé had already begun branding her daughter by introducing her into the public consciousness as an emerging talent through surprise performances during the world tour. She said about Beyoncé, "It demonstrates her understanding of intellectual property in a way that shields her family and aligns her brand narrative of empowerment and ownership." So they're scrambling to maximize the monetization of the daughter in the Beyoncé Jay-Z empire in the light of the R word allegation. That's what's going on right now. According to this PR person, fans of Beyoncé can expect to see her continue to shape her daughter's career path, which boasts a resume including a New York Times best-selling book and landing a role in at Disney. Collaborations or philanthropic initiatives. Thank you for the membership, Gillian Daniels. A gradual introduction to creative projects and opportunities for Blue Ivy to speak or appear independently will help shape her narrative. By blending mentorship with moments that allow Blue Ivy to shine independently, Beyoncé is not just securing her daughter's career foundation, she's also setting an inspiring example of parenting in the public eye. Yeah, they are the pertinent words, in the public eye. She went on to say that Beyoncé's decision to trademark her daughter's name will ensure it cannot be used for unauthorized purposes that could harm their reputation or exploit their identity. They are arming the fort, guys, because the people with the pitchforks are coming. The move will also help the family to build a consistent and authentic brand narrative for Blue Ivy, regardless of what endeavors she intends to use it for. So while she is protecting the Blue Ivy brand, she's still backing Jay-Z, but she said that she wants her family to face Jay-Z's R-word allegations head on, including attending the premiere of Blue Ivy's movie in LA. It was Beyoncé's idea for the Roc Nation founder to attend the premiere, as she wants the family to confront the R-word allegation head on rather than remaining silent. A source said about the situation, "Beyoncé believes that the best way is to face it head on. Blue Ivy is well aware of what is going on and is intent on supporting her father in any way she can. She was there in solidarity with her dad and mum." And the insider confirmed that they are working with a crisis specialist who is advising them on the best way to handle the situation to come out on top. Good luck with that. Once you got the stink of this attached to you, mate, doesn't go away as easy as putting hit pieces out on alleged survivors and trying to destroy the reputation of Mr. Busby. So, with the Sammy the Bull documentary coming out in 5 days on HBO Max, some of my old party friends have got in touch with me, one of whom is a DJ out of Arizona. Anyway, he was in Arizona when I met him. And it's going to bring us to Ashton Kutcher. This friend of mine moved to West Hollywood. This friend of mine, I had no idea about any of this. I've not spoke to him in a decade, at least. This friend of mine became a gay bar DJ in Hollywood. I think you can guess where this is going. This friend of mine has stories about Diddy, Jay-Z, Kutcher, Busta Rhymes, Leonardo DiCaprio, so many huge names I can't even remember them all from the top of my head. Where's my popcorn? Yes. So, I've just spoken to him for about half an hour. He's a very charismatic person. And I just could not believe the people he was telling me were gay. And the ones who were not gay, the big names, were at it with underage girls. He said that, I'm trying to remember what he said. I don't want to get this wrong. He alleged that Kucha locked a female friend of his in a room for many days. And he said there is much more to the Ashton Kutcher story of him testifying at the trial of the Hollywood Ripper, who was charged with the murder of Ashley Ellerin in 2001 on the night she was supposed to be going on a date with Ashton. This is insane. This is absolutely insane. So here's the official narrative. If we go to the wiki page of Michael G-A-R-G-I-U-L-O, I'll just call him Michael G. On February 21st, 2001, he murdered 22-year-old Ashley Ellerin, stabbing her 47 times in her home in Hollywood. Her injuries included a neck wound that nearly severed her head and deep punctures to the chest, stomach, and back. Some of her wounds were up to 6 inches deep. According to Detective Tom Small, one stab wound actually penetrated the skull and took a chunk of skull like a puzzle piece. Wow. On the night she was unalived, Ellerin had planned a date, including dinner and drinks, with actor Ashton Kutcher. When she did not answer the door, Kutcher looked through the window and saw what he thought was simply spilled wine on the floor. Now, my friend who I've just spoke to, who was a DJ at the gay bars of Hollywood and personally saw many of the biggest names up to shenanigans, said there's a lot more to this Ashton Kutcher story than the mainstream media is telling us. If I look at The Guardian here in the UK, actor testifies at trial of Hollywood Ripper, who is charged with murder of Ashley Ellerin in 2000, along with two others. Ashton Kutcher freaked out after date found unalive, LA court told. So this article was from way back, like this article is more than 5 years old, it says on this thing. 2019, is it? So Ashton told an LA jury on Wednesday that he was freaking out after learning that a young woman was found unalive in Hollywood the day after he called at her home for a date. He was testifying as a witness at the trial of a man dubbed the Hollywood Ripper, charged with the unaliving of the young woman and two others. Kutcher said he arrived at the Hollywood bungalow, a fashion design student, Ashley, on 22nd of Feb 2001, after speaking to her by phone earlier that evening to arrange a date, the LA City News Service reported. But when he got there 2 hours after the call, Kutcher said he found the lights on and the door locked. Peering through the window, he saw, quote, what I thought was a red wine spilled on the carpet. I didn't really think anything of it, Kutcher said, adding that he figured I screwed up by showing up late. He assumed Ellerin had gone out with a friend, but she was found unalive at the home the next morning by a roommate, stabbed 47 times. That's terrible. Kutcher said when he learned what had happened to Ellerin, he spoke with the cops and was freaking out because he knew his fingerprints would be on the front door of her home. MG was on trial for that murder and two other women and the attempted murder of another. All right, let me close that one before we get over to more Jay-Z and a bit of Diddy before Beverly comes in. All right, so by default, I've been speaking to my old party friends. As I mentioned, one of them has become a Hollywood gay bar DJ where he sees everything. Put a one in the chat if you want me to bring him on live to tell us everything he knows about DiCaprio, Kucha, Jay-Z, Diddy, Busta Rhymes. And that is just a minuscule sample of the names he was throwing out at me. Looks like unanimous ones. He's also got some crazy stories of me and him back in the Arizona rave days. And also, he's got some wild man stories as well. Yeah, all right, let's see. I'm just starting to read the chat now. Lots of ones in the chat. That's great. I'll just scroll back and see if there's any comments or any questions. Please, Mr. Atwood, share my story. I'm fighting against social services. La Familia, send us an email and we will get you on. Sean, how do you keep from letting this stuff overwhelm your soul? If I had your job, I think my soul would rot. God bless you. Well, when I was deep into the Jeffrey Epstein case, I got to admit, interviewing survivor after survivor, not just of him, but other monsters, it did start to have an effect on me. And if you've not seen the interview, Pure Evil Dad, it was during that interview in the Liverpool studio and I was interviewing this beautiful soul, this woman whose dad bred her to do these monstrous things. I felt all the blood leave my body and my body froze in the studio during the interview and I had to put my coat on. And I said to the lady, this is what's just happened. But if you've not seen that interview, Pure Evil Dad, I will put it in the description box because the bravery of this woman is incredible after what she went through. The cops, when they showed up at the house and got the diary from the dad, he had rated what he had done to her and put down what date, R word, substances he'd used on her and videoed his own little daughter. Intense. It was one of the most intense ones. Insane. Just chilling. For all my blood to feel like it had left my body, and for my body to freeze. But the podcast guest was radiant. She's such a good soul from everything she's been through. All right, we've got 5 minutes before Beverly, and I was going to go over all of Jay-Z's past controversies. My Hollywood gay bar DJ friend alleged made allegations about Jay-Z. I'll save those until he comes on. All right. So this article in Prestige Online, he's the richest rapper in the world, but not immune to scandals. So starting with the most recent controversy, the SA law. Oh, thank you for the super chat there. Volleyball. Appreciate that. Bev's got her own show now on a Saturday night. And I think she's got an email address as well. So if there's any super chats unanswered, she will get around to them by email. All right. So Jay-Z, where were we? So, yeah. So the SA case obviously is massive with Diddy. Then there was the Lance on Rivera stabbing incident. In 1999, he grabbed the headlines of pleading guilty to third-degree assault of a former music exec and record producer, Lance on Rivera. He was sentenced to 3 years of probation in the case when he was accused of stabbing Rivera in the stomach and shoulder. And this happened allegedly because he confronted the record producer over leaking his third album, Volume 3, Life and Times of S. Carter, before its release. However, in 2023, 2 decades after the incident, Rivera spoke about the incident in an interview clarifying that Jay-Z was not the guy who'd stabbed him. While he admitted that the rapper was present during the occurrence of the violent incident, he noted that the duo had had a brief conversation. Talk about cleaning his... Well, I'll leave that. The elevator fight with Beyonce's sister, we've covered that one quite a lot. The shooting incident involving his brother. During a 2010 interview with The Guardian, he opened up about a scary incident from his past. At age 12, he shot his brother. Shot his brother, an addict, in the shoulder for stealing a piece of jewelry. Recalling how shaken the incident left him, he said, "I thought I'd go to jail forever. I was a boy, a child. I was terrified." His brother recovered from the shooting and declined to press charges, but it left Jay-Z completely distressed, and he rapped about it on his 97 track, You Must Love Me. Decades later, in 2022, Jay-Z's mentor, Jazz O, reflected on his role in the shooting and revealed he was the guy who gave Jay-Z the gun. And then the dealing past. We know all about the dealing past. We interviewed DeHaven, so I won't get into that. Check out our podcast with DeHaven from last week. Brilliant guy. Jay-Z's best friend and right-hand man at the time. Was told if he went away inside, he would be looked after. Got stabbed in the back by Jay, and they tried to destroy his reputation, his credibility, and didn't help him at all. All right, cheating scandal. There was a cheating scandal that first put Jay-Z and Beyonce's marriage in danger. This was in 2017. He remorsefully opened up about cheating on Beyonce and said, "The hardest thing is seeing pain on someone's face that you caused and then have to deal with yourself." And we know all about that because they monetized the hell out of it in two separate albums, Lemonade and, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. Gun possession arrest in 2001. When he and three other men were arrested outside a Manhattan nightclub under charges of illegal gun possession, it was reported at the time that the weapon was found inside the 2001 Chevrolet Suburban in which Jay was riding. As per ABC News, it was Jay's bodyguard, Hamza Hewitt, who was found with a loaded Glock semi-automatic handgun in his waistband. Interestingly, the rapper's arrest came shortly after a jury acquitted Diddy of gun possession and bribery relating to the nightclub shooting in December 1999 of Natanya Rubin with Shine, etc. There was the NFL partnership backlash. Well, there's going to be round two for that coming soon, I believe. Jay-Z's Roc Nation partnered with the NFL in 2019 to have Roc Nation produce entertainment events for the league, including the halftime show. The company announced it would work with the NFL to enhance live game experiences and amplify the league's social justice efforts. However, this drew a huge amount of backlash online as people expressed anger over his decision to work with the company that froze out footballer Colin Kaepernick after his 2016 kneeling protest. Kaepernick began kneeling during the American national anthem in protest against racial injustice and police brutality in the USA. Blah, blah, blah. All right, let me see if Beverly is in the studio. And we're going to go over to Saturday Night Psychic Live, episode one with Beverly. Jen and I are continuing to assist while Beverly learns the ropes of StreamYard. But it will get to the point where Beverly will just be running it herself and bringing on whatever guests she chooses to bring on. So I'm just in the studio right now. Beverly and Andrea are here. So let me just get ready to come in there and get ready with closing this one. Here we go. So I'm going to close this one now. And this will customize over to Beverly. And I'm going to get our Hollywood gay bar DJ on as soon as possible, guys. And he's going to drop some stories we've never, ever heard before. So thank you for tuning in.